It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Hey, everybody, it's Greg Gutfeld. This is The One. I have quite an interesting guest here today. I won't tell you how I met him. That'll come later. But Jeffrey Rohr is a former football linebacker, NFL. I'm glad I said football. Like to because like if I just said linebacker, no one would know. But he was with the Dallas Cowboys. I think he was drafted in the second round in 1982. He played, I think, 5 to 6 years. I'm not quite sure, but he had about 83 tackles, 7.5 sacks. You can't tell I'm reading this off a fact sheet. Obviously. But then he retired. He became an artist. But probably the most interesting thing recently for him is he might be the only NFL player ever, first ever, to marry another man. Now, that is interesting. Well, all of this stuff about Jeffrey is interesting. Jeff, how are you?
Good, Greg. I think you got 99% of that right. But I think I made 83 tackles in one game.
Oh, in one game? Wow.
Yeah, it was a long game.
It was, but, well, that's amazing. Yeah. So I gotta tell the listeners how we met.
Absolutely.
I'm trying to remember. I don't think you contacted me before you sent the painting.
But
this painting shows up in my office. Now, I get a lot of weird stuff in the mail. I get a lot of weird dolls that people make and things. But I open up this painting. I take it out, and it's amazing. By the way, I'm going to have it on the front of the podcast so people know. It's an incredible painting, and I know it's incredible because my wife, who's an artist and a fashion stylist, was like, "Oh, that's one of the only things that I've ever received that she allows in the apartment." So it's great.
It was fun, you know. Like I paint, you know, I paint people that. I don't know. It's always interesting who I paint. I mean, I paint all kinds of people.
Yeah. Why me?
I kind of paint people that I've always wanted to like have a beer with, mm-hmm. or go out and have a drink with, and like half the people I paint are dead. So I'm never going to get to have a drink with them.
Yes.
And you know, I've always enjoyed watching you. Watching you on TV, and you're just a smart guy, but you're a funny guy. And most people consider me probably smarter than funny, but there's an interesting combination there. So I painted you, and I was, you know, I had it, and it was sitting in my studio. And I go, you know what? I'm just going to send this to Greg because it was a really cool painting. You looked great in it, and I figured you'd like it. And I knew that you probably got a bunch of weird shit.
Yeah,
so I wasn't gonna I wasn't gonna give you any heads up. I was just gonna send it to you and hope you liked it.
So you have there's so many interesting twists and turns in your life. You were a pretty effective linebacker for the Dallas Cowboys. Now you're very successful. I would say would you say art and design, or you painting is a hobby, but you work. You produce commercials. Is that kind of what
I. Yeah, I do. I was with the Cowboys from 82 to 90. Mm-hmm. I got injured my last year. I was starting for the last 3 years that I played. There was all Tom Landry. It was mm-hmm. with, you know, Dorsett and Ed Jones, Randy Wyatt and all those guys.
Yeah.
Super, super good people. And I got injured, and then I came out to L.A., and I didn't really know what I wanted to do, and I had a few bucks in the bank, so I just rented a house on the canals in Venice Beach because I liked the Doors and Jim Morrison, and
yeah.
I wanted to hang out where he ran around for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So I literally was playing basketball on the beach, and the guy goes, "Hey, man, you want to get in the movie business?" And I said, "Sure, what am I doing?" He goes, "Well, you're going to drive trucks." I said, "Great." So I got into the very bottom, and then in the last six, you know, I've been producing for probably 20 years, national TV spots, and in the last 6 years, I think I've had 3 top 10 Super Bowl spots.
Wow.
So it's like real stuff, and it's a fun business, and I love the people in the business and the ad game. It's all, you know, it's kooky and fun, and a lot of travel. I work with a lot of extremely talented cinematographers and directors, so Yeah, it's been a good run.
You know, if any guy came up to me and said, hey, do you want to be in the movies? It would never end up the way yours went. God knows what would happen. I would be in some foreign country. God knows. I don't even want to get into it. But then, okay, so here I get this great painting, and then we start chatting on the phone. There are some other secrets about you that I will not hit on until later. But then we're on a conversation, and you go and you go, hey, I just wanted to let you know, Greg, that I'm getting married. And I'm going, hey, congratulations. And you go, to a guy. I did not see that coming.
You know, a lot of people didn't see that one coming. Half the people didn't come to my wedding because I was afraid to send out, because I hadn't told my dad yet.
Oh, wow.
And my husband, now husband, Josh, is like, we've got to get these things out. It's only 6 weeks till the wedding or whatever. Mm-hmm. So we sent out an invitation where just the picture on the invitation was this two shoes, like two brush shoes.
Yes.
Kind of like My Three Sons or whatever. It was
right.
Very awkward. A lot of people just said, I don't know this Jeffrey, because it just said Joshua and Jeffrey. So
right.
half of my good friends didn't come. The ones that did had a hell of a good time.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, it happened last November. So it's been a little over a year. Mm-hmm. And it was super scary for me to actually face that side of my life, which had not been part of my life for,
right.
you know, probably 50 years, 45 mm-hmm. years. And to actually suck it up, undo it, it took somebody special, and that was, you know, Joshua.
Mm-hmm.
And my ex-wife has been, you know, amazingly supportive, and my kids and my family and my ex-teammates and everybody. So it was like, I was so wrong, Greg, about everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was expecting the worst.
Yeah.
And everybody has been like, oh, you're married? Oh, great. Okay. Next question. And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm sobbing here. You're supposed to, you know.
Yes.
You're supposed to like feel my pain. It's like, dude, settle down. It's like, we love you. It's all good. So that's good news about society moving forward these days.
Yeah. You know, I've experienced that with my friends who've come out and relatives. It's not the way I guess it's not the way it seems, but I mean, think about your life. You lived the heterosexual life. I mean, you were a professional football player. I'm going to play into the stereotypes that you weren't exactly, you know, an altar boy when you were a professional, and you have a wife and you have kids. So you navigated that life while, was this part of your, was there a secret universe in your head that you kept to yourself, or did you not even notice? Go ahead.
Yeah. No, you're right. No, you're right. I think the secret universe is kind of where I lived. And I mean, it was so far not possible in my life, mm-hmm. nor something. I used to pray to God that, that it wasn't real and cry mm-hmm. myself to sleep. Not to the point of going to hurt myself or anything, but it was like, is this real?
Yeah.
Cause I was having so much fun living the, the uber masculine life and, you know, Yale high school was great. Yale was great. And then the cowboy thing was nuts.
Yeah, I bet. Football in the 80s. I mean, seriously.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
In that town,
yes.
Being a straight gay linebacker in Dallas in 1983 wasn't too bad, Greg.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you hid your secret life really, really well.
Yeah, and it was happy to be hidden. It was pretty nutty, though.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be for like another podcast, but it was there was some crazy times, and it was, you know, I wasn't, like you said, I wasn't an altar boy. I got thrown in the pokey a couple times, and mm-hmm. you know, Tom Landry had to come bail me out. That was humiliating.
Busted for? What was it? Is it something?
You know, just stupid stuff. It was, you know, just. It was basically drinking and having a problem with authority. And then
yeah.
the next thing you know, you're wearing bracelets and going, this is not good because I have to play tomorrow.
God.
You know, they're like, I was like, dude, don't you know that you have a game tomorrow? I was like, I'm sorry.
And the best thing is when Tom Landry has to bail you out, everybody there is like, okay, it's Tom Landry.
Yeah. And then the miracle was like, two of the times, like I got player of the game. I don't know what it was. I think it was like, when there's like no sleep involved, and then you got to show up at the football field, you're kind of unconscious, and you just play out of your brain. You know, it's like, I'm in the zone. Yeah, you're in the zone. You can barely know where you are.
Isn't that interesting, though? That is something about, like, playing with an injury or something. It's like there's a weird focus that you find because you're not concentrating anymore. You know what I mean?
It's you're like
you know? I don't know.
No, you're exactly right. It's like you're at total peace.
You know?
It's like just in the zen zone.
I have my best shows when I'm hungover. I have, like, when I used to, like, when I come into the five and I feel like I'm going to throw up, I have great shows.
Well, I want to be the reason for one of those great performances.
Okay. Well, definitely, we have to go get loaded at some point. You were out here. You were on a float. Was this like last year for Gay Pride?
Yeah, it was last year's Pride. It was like I think the 50th anniversary of Stonewall and all that. Yeah. So it was a big deal. And the NFL actually had a float, and then they asked me to be on the float. Now that was still in my part of my, like, being weird about accepting who I am. And I was like, do I really want to go on the float? Da, 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 da. But I did, and we had a great time. And it was, you know, it was a great moment for the LGBT cause and everybody just starting to chill out about the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Greg, while we're on that, on floats and things like that, my kids these days, you know, my kids, I got a 17 and a 15-year-old.
Yeah.
They're both in high school. The people are so nice around town. They don't care about, you know, who marries who and all that stuff. And the principal from the school called me the day after my wedding and said, look, anybody messes with your kids, I'll put their head on a stick. So it's been good.
You live with your whole, you still live, this is crazy too, right? You live with your husband and your ex-wife and your kids all in one place, right?
That is correct.
This ain't the Brady Bunch. It's like the Brady Bunch 2020.
It is Brady Bunch 2020, and it's, you know, it's funny. It's like, you know, you would think it's like a war every day, but it's more of a comedy war.
Yeah.
I don't know how to put it, but it's like there's arguments quite a bit, but that always ends up with people laughing. And there's some, you know, my husband, Josh, is like, he's one of the guys that, like, when you say you're born gay, Josh was born gay. Mm-hmm. I mean, when he walks in a room, it's like, that guy's gay. and I'm just the opposite of that. You know, I walk in a room, they go like, that dude can't be gay. And then my ex-wife she's outstanding. She's hilarious. And then my kids are just, my girl and boy are, you know, the typical California hip teenagers that want to argue and tell me how the world works. So it's chaos.
Yeah. And the thing, and I read somewhere, I can't remember where, I don't see you as a person that is searching for any kind of spotlight. I don't think that's what you like to work, but there's an avenue here for a reality show. And I think, I don't know if I heard it. There is something happening there, I would assume. Right.
Well, we were, we had, like, People Magazine did a really nice piece on us, really well written, and they sent out a nice photographer, and they ended up doing four pages, and it was really cool. And because of that, it did cause quite a bit of interest in some kind of show, and there is a lot of interest, and we've talked to some people, and I'm really not supposed to say anything other than that.
Yes. Name, rank, and serial number. That's all.
But fingers crossed.
Yeah.
It'd be exciting times.
All right. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network, subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
So you come out of the closet on sexuality. Is that somehow less dangerous than coming out of the closet as a Trump supporter? You knew I was going to ask you.
Yeah, I think it's a lot less dangerous. You know, I've got friends on. I just went to a Yale event two nights ago at the Getty. Mm-hmm. With my African art teacher, Robert Ferris Thompson, amazing dude who is donating his work and his collection to the Getty. And there was a bunch of my Yale friends there. And then I come down to Manhattan Beach, and then, you know, what I was going to do is a bunch of my Yale friends, extremely liberal left, and then a bunch of my friends in Manhattan Beach, extremely liberal, right?
Yeah.
And then I'm all over the place depending on the candidate, but I'm a big fan of disruption, and
yeah.
I usually write in Willie Nelson for president.
Yeah.
Just because he's a stoner. No, I don't know why, because I like his music.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've voted for, let's see, who have we voted for? Like Ralph Nader, mm-hmm. Ross Perot. Who was that other independent guy? John Anderson.
Yeah.
So anybody that comes from the outside and is not part of some political dynasty will most likely get my vote. And, yeah.
I know. Listen to you. You are dancing around this. It's so funny.
Yeah.
So that means I can't bring up the painting that you did.
Oh, no. Absolutely, man. No.
You painted an amazing portrait of Trump. And
it's unbelievable.
Did you send it? Have you sent it?
I haven't sent it.
Yeah.
I haven't sent it because I didn't really know where to go yet. Maybe you can help me, but...
I contacted my contacts through, I won't say who on this air, but I said, hey, look, my buddy painted this amazing portrait of Donald Trump. Where could he send it? So at least it doesn't get, like, put in a closet or some weirdo takes it. And I thought I'd forward you an address. I'm pretty sure it was the Trump Hotel or something like that. But
oh, my God. Well, I blew it. I'll look that up.
If you can't find the email, I'll try to find out where I – because it could have been my screw-up. I might have, like, you know, gotten the information, but I thought I forwarded it to you. But you never know because I probably was drinking.
It's a crazy cool painting. It's been in a couple art shows out here.
Really?
California, yeah.
No one's like, vandalized it?
No. Well, I was actually worried about that.
Yeah.
A couple people have come on, they look at my art, and I go, what do you want? And they go, we got to have this, you know? And then I'm right next to that is a sick painting of RFK, and I've got one of Bernie.
Yeah.
I did one of Bernie, but on his lapel, I couldn't really see in my image because I, you know, when I sketch him out, I couldn't really see what it was.
Yeah.
So he had like a lapel pin, so I put a cross on him.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was interesting.
Yes. What is that? Should I ask what the meaning might be?
I don't know. I think that's for people to interpret that he, instead of having something, other American flag or whatever, I just put a cross on him. I just thought that would be something for people to talk about.
Now that I have this painting of myself, which I just sent to my producer, actual size. I'm pressing it and doing it to Joni. Now you have it. What is like, can I ask you, like, what do your portraits go for in case I end up broke and unemployed and I need to sell that painting?
You'll get good money for that. It's they're not worth much right now, but probably a year or two they're going to be worth a lot of money. So don't sell it.
Oh, I'm not. I'm going to. This is up on my wall. You know, it's above the bed, so I can just look at myself. No, it's in our living room, and it's funny because I got to tell you, like, the harshest critic of everything in my life is Elena, and she's going, "This is magnificent." So that was great.
That's cool, man.
Yeah.
That's really cool. That makes me happy.
Yeah. And so we kind of almost got to the point where you admitted voting for Trump, but I'm not going to press you anymore on the politics because I can see you. You're like that flying Walenda, you know, you're on that little tightrope and I'm like the gust of wind. I don't want to push you off that rope. I don't want you to lose any business.
I like, you know what? Honestly, it bugs me when I see somebody getting pounded by the press and stuff, that's like, you know, it's so ridiculous that mm-hmm. you know that that it can't be true, and there's some other weird reason. It's
right.
Like it's like having Pravda behind you or something. I mean, it's just ridiculous. So you know, I like the underdog. I like the outsiders, and I'll back them when I can because I think Washington needs to get shaken up, man. It's
definitely
just like, so you know, I one thing that nobody talks about that drives me nuts is two words, term limits.
Yeah.
Why doesn't somebody talk about term limits? We've got to get some of these people out of there, man.
Yeah.
They're running up the debt on the kids. I got two teenage kids and they don't even know it, mm-hmm. but all these 90-year-old people are just using their life as a credit card, and Somebody needs to start talking about term limits again.
We had it for a while, and then it went away, and there are people that argue, like, I think there are people that argue that it's not constitutional, but I think there should be a single term for a president, and it's 6 years. So you can get so the guy can get in and get and not have to worry about stuff and then get out, because a lot of the countries that we deal with are just waiting for Trump to lose. Oh, you know, like China was thinking like this guy is either going to be impeached or new reelection. So why do we have to work with him? We'll just wait him out. Now I think they realize he's going to be around. So it's a different tune. But I agree with you. I think that we have too many people that have turned it. Look at Bernie Sanders. I mean, he hasn't had a real job outside of government in his life. You know,
it's a lot of these guys are just ridiculous. And, you know, the whole thing now, too, is just nobody wants to get anything done. They just want to argue.
Right.
And it's just a joke. I mean, they literally spend all their time in Washington arguing. And then whoever they're arguing against has to waste time answering this crap.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's impeachment.
Not getting anything done.
Yeah. So what are you currently working on now? What's your next big thing?
I'm shooting next week on a little commercial out here in L.A., and then I'm bidding Ford's got this new truck called a Tremor, which is really cool. It's like Raptor meets F-150, so it's a badass F-150 that can go anywhere on the planet. It's like a lunar lander. It could go anywhere.
Wow.
So I'm working on that, and then you know, there's a bunch of the other top secret projects that we'll save for 6 months from now.
Yeah,
but that's exciting stuff. But hey, can I ask you one question?
Sure, why not?
How is Tyrus really that big? Because I think I could take him.
He is actually huge. I mean, it's not funny. It is like he's a massive dude. And I think he had a tryout for Dallas back, but he was I feel like I talked to him about this before he went into professional wrestling. He was on I think he was football scholarship in football. He played for some great Nebraska. He played for Nebraska. Thank you. And then I think he had a tryout. But either he got injured or his knees aren't that great, I think. I'm always careful. But he had to be over 400 pounds at some point. And he's like, you know, he's still working out. He's a big, big bundle of muscle.
Well, I'm 61. I'm pretty sure I could.
Well, you know who I ran into? By the way, you linebackers are all the same. I ran into Romanowski. He played after you. We were at the Super Bowl, and he was there, I guess. And he came on the five, and he's you know, I won't talk about him politically, but you know, he's one of us. But anyway, he was there, and all these linebackers are interesting because they're the toughest people in the field, and they turn out to be the nicest people off the field. It's very strange, right?
It's a weird position because I mean, you literally have to fight the offensive linemen, like hand fight them consistently through the game. And then you can't let them grab you because if you do, it's over. So you learn how to hand fight really well. Like we used to have a Thai boxing coach on our Dallas used to hire a Thai boxing coach just to teach us to keep the hands away. And then you got to run down those running backs.
Yeah.
You got to go cover a guy man to man. And, you know, the defenses are getting so complicated now, Greg. It's like, You can't be an idiot and be out on the field, and then you've got the pressure on top of that. So it's like split second things. You got to be cool. You got to be tough. You got to work through the injuries. I mean, it's a tough, tough game. Got to learn to play with pain, and you know you're going to get beat every now and then. I never did, of course. But,
yes. you know, it sounds a lot like my career as an anchor on TV. You know, it's tough. You gotta learn to hand fight. You never know when Dana's gonna punch me, but I've learned to roll. I'm all right. Hey, you know what? I have a book coming out in a couple months. I think I'm supposed to be doing the Nixon Library and the Reagan Library, which means I'm going to be in your town, and I will. That's when we have to go drinking. We'll go drinking at the Sunset Marquee, and
I'm there.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll probably be like in July, end of July, beginning of August would be probably a good time.
That'd be outstanding, man.
Excellent.
That'd be so much fun.
It was a pleasure talking to you, Jeff. Congratulations on everything. And I hope to talk to you soon.
Thank you, and I look forward to seeing you in L.A., and I'll be following you on TV, of course. And thanks so much.
Yeah, let me know when you come out here, too.
Okay.
All right, buddy. I'll see you.
All right, man.
I'm Charles Payne. Listen to my Unstoppable Prosperity podcast so I can get you making money right now. Whether stocks are hitting new all-time highs or in free-fall mode, opportunities abound. So why are so many potential investors still sitting on the sidelines? In a new season of my podcast, I'm going to get you in the game. After 38 years on Wall Street, I'm ready to impart some lessons and get you invested in the greatest wealth-generating machine in history. Listen anytime, everywhere at foxbusinesspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.